Import over here. And we're good to go. Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Roger Paul, and tonight we are going to continue our study on paper 160, Rodin of Alexandria, and we're in section 4 of that paper. We'll finish this tonight, but we're on page 1779.5 of the original book, and then 164.13 on all the rest of them. So we're ready to start here. It looks like everybody's here except Gary, so let's get started. So if I'm coming up on everything, I think so. Okay. But life will become a burden of existence unless you learn how to fail gracefully. There is an art in defeat which noble souls always acquire. See, that's why I'm so noble, y'all. It's all the defeat in my life. You must know how to lose cheerfully. You must be fearless of disappointment. Never hesitate to admit failure. Make no attempt to hide failure under deceptive smiles and beaming optimism. It sounds well always to claim success, but the end results are appalling. Such a technique leads directly to the creation of a world of unreality and to the inevitable crash of ultimate disillusionment. Okay, so when you fail, admit your failures, pick yourself up, brush yourself off, and go on.
Right? Yeah, it should be learned at an early age.
Should be learned at a very early age, right?
That's right. Roger.
Yeah.
He didn't add a disclaimer. And then also, Jesus basically taught that as well.
As well, he did. Right, that's right. Thanks for reminding me about the disclaimer, Rodney. What Rodney's talking about is these two papers, this one and the next one, is not the teachings of Jesus directly. They're secondhand. Okay, so these things we're talking about are not directly from the source. They're secondhand from Rodin of Alexandria. And he became a believer, and during this period of time, he was communicating with Nathaniel. I'm losing my mind.
And Thomas.
And Thomas, that's right. And he gave a series of lectures of 10 points, and that's where this information comes from. So we've been going through the 10 points, and then the next paper, it's only got 4 sections. It's the last of it. Okay. So, okay. All right. I already changed the slide. Okay. Unmute here.
Okay.
You did already? Okay.
Yeah, I just did. Success may generate courage and promote confidence, but wisdom comes only from the experiences of adjustment to the results of one's failures. Men who prefer optimistic illusions to reality can never become wise. Only those who face facts and adjust them to ideas can achieve wisdom. Wisdom embraces both the fact and the ideal, and therefore saves its devotees from both of those barren extremes of philosophy. The man who idealist excludes facts, and the materialistic who is devoid of spiritual outlook. Those timid souls who can only keep up with the struggle of life by the aid of continuous false illusions of successes are doomed to suffer failure and experience defeat as they ultimately awaken from the dream world of their own imaginations. It's funny. It's not funny, really, but
you're muted, Roger.
Thanks, Rodney. So what's he saying here? He's saying that if you're over optimistic, you can set yourself up to a point where you live in a dream world, okay, where nothing is really real. Everything, you're so optimistic about things, you don't take the hardships of life as they come along. And if you don't accept the hardships of life as they come along, you never achieve wisdom. Why is that? It's through the failures we have in life that we learn and we become wise. Okay?
Very true.
Yeah, very true.
That, I mean,
That's the
that's all
only
the.
way that we can learn.
That's right. The other thing he says here is he mentions materialism, right? And that if you're materialist and you're devoid of a spiritual outlook, you're in that same false illusions loop, aren't you? In other words, if you're only materialistic and you have no spiritual background in your life, then you're living in an unreal reality, because what happens? Either one or two things: you become ultra wealthy and nothing has any value to you eventually. Okay, or you become very poor and everything crashes underneath you, and then you are totally disillusioned on life because you didn't gain your materialistic things you thought was so important to you. When reality, the material things in life means almost absolutely nothing. Okay, it's the spiritual things in life that mean something, because it's only the spiritual that you take with you when you go on to the mansion worlds. Okay?
Well, the Marantia.
Yeah, in the Marantia world. Is that baby reading yet?
Oh, not yet. We do read him a book every night, though.
right. Okay, just rearranged my screens again. Okay. Stephanie, you just came up a second right before my wife even. So I'm going to let you read next, and then we'll go to Pam, because
Sounds
that's
good.
my order here. Skip you this one. Oh, you just read, so I'm going to let her read. Yeah, do it to Pam. All right. So we'll come back. Oh, did I change this? I didn't
Not
change the
yet.
slide. Okay, there's a picture from Charles Geyer. All right, here we go.
And it is in this business of facing failure and adjusting to defeat that the far-reaching vision of religion exerts its supreme influence. Failure is simply an educational episode, a cultural experiment in the acquirement of wisdom, in the experience of the God-seeking man who has embarked on the internal adventure of the exploration of a universe. To such men, defeat is but a new tool for the achievement of higher levels of universe reality.
Okay, not only here in this life, but I need to mention this in the mansion worlds, this still applies. Okay, because it talks about those who, as you progress through the mansion worlds and get higher and higher, those who fail, it says it like this: those who feast upon failure. Okay, so even failure after this life, if you don't do exactly what you set out to do, that failure feeds your wisdom to prepare you for the next step. Okay, so it's not just this life, it's a life here to come too. All right. And that's important to know, so you won't be disappointed when you get there. Let me see if I can move this over, but get this blank thing on me. Okay. Let's see here. Pam, you're up on my screen. So
The career of a God-seeking man may prove to be a great success in the light of eternity. Even though the whole temporal life enterprise may appear as an overwhelming failure, provided each life failure yielded the culture of wisdom and spirit achievement. Do not make the mistake of confusing knowledge, culture, and wisdom. They are related in life, but they represent vastly differing spirit values. Wisdom ever dominates knowledge and always glorifies culture.
So wisdom is the top notch, then, is it not? Over everything. And you can only gain wisdom through what? Truth. You know, if you believe in false things over and over and over, then you're short-circuiting your wisdom, because you're not feeding it with what? Good spiritual values. Okay? So truth is important. That's why this book is so important. All right, Rodney.
Five, the religion of the ideal. You have told me that your master regards genuine human religion as the individual's experience with spiritual reality, as man's experience of reacting to something which he regards as being worthy of the homage and devotion of all mankind. In this sense, religion symbolizes our supreme devotion to that which represents our highest concept of the ideals of reality and the furthest reach of our minds toward eternal possibilities of spiritual attainment.
Okay, so I got a question for y'all. Why do you think that reading this revelation and the midwayers and all the celestial beings that put all this information together for us, why do you think it's so important for us in this lifetime and not just teach us in the life to come?
Wait, wait. What's
I
the
didn't understand the question.
Okay,
I
I'm
didn't
saying,
either.
what do you think is so important that of the revelation that the midwayers and the celestial beings gave us that we got it in this lifetime and not they just didn't wait to teach us when we got to the mansion worlds?
Well, the whole book.
The
I
whole
mean,
book, that's right. Spiritual attainment, is it not?
yeah.
Okay.
Progress.
Progress. If we progress on this planet and we progress in our life and the things we learn in this planet, that builds what? Our soul through the thought adjuster, does it not? Okay, so that spiritual attainment, the possibility of the highest spiritual attainment in this life allows us to prepare ourselves not only for the next, but it builds our spiritual wisdom. So that we're ready to go on to the next world and help each other in this world, right?
Yeah.
All right. So it's important even in our daily lives. All right. Let's see. I guess I'm back up next, unless that Roger Paul guy over there wants to read. I wish I could figure out how to get him to do that. Okay. When man reached to religion in the
React.
tri, huh?
React.
Oh, I'm sorry. When men react to religion in the tribal, national, or racial sense, it is because they look upon those without their group as not being truly human. That's interesting, isn't it? All right. We always look upon the object of our religious loyalties as being worthy of reverence of all men. Religion can never be a matter of mere intellectual belief or philosophic reasoning. Religion is always a forever a mold of reacting to the situations of life. It is the species of conduct. Religion embraces thinking, feeling, and acting reverently towards some reality that would be worthy of universal adoration. Okay. Let me mention something here too, and we need to bring this out. Philosophy, it asks us to embrace thinking also, does it not? Feeling, acting, and reverently towards some reality we deem as worthy of universal adoration. But what's the difference between religion and philosophy? Religion is something you believe, usually believe in a group, all right? It becomes part of your life, where the philosophy you can believe individually and not connect it to anything whatsoever if you choose not to. Okay, so if you think of philosophy, think of it this way. Philosophy is a way of analyzing things you're learning, but not actually embracing it in your physical life, in your daily living. Okay? You can do that easily with philosophy. You can't do that with religion, because if it's really a religion, it becomes part of you. Okay, it becomes part of your daily reasoning and your daily thinking and your mode of life, which philosophy does not always do that. Make
Yeah,
sense?
Jesus taught that religion is personal. It's
Yes.
between you and the Father.
Between you and the Father, and it's the most important thing in your life, right? Outside your relationship with God the Father himself, and that is religion. Okay. All right. Stephanie, would you take the next one?
If something has become a religion in your experience, it is self-evident that you already have become an active evangel of that religion since you deem the supreme concept of your religion as being worthy of the worship of all mankind, all universe intelligences. If you are not a positive and missionary evangel of your religion, you are self-deceived in that what you call a religion is only a traditional belief or a mere system of intellectual philosophy. If your religion is a spiritual experience, your object of worship must be the universal spirit reality and ideal of all your spiritualized concepts. All religions based on fear, emotion, tradition, and philosophy, I term the intellectual religions, while those based on true spirit experience, I would term the true religions. The object of religious devotion may be material or spiritual, true or false, real or unreal, human or divine. Religions can therefore be good or evil.
Y'all catch that?
True.
Yeah.
So it can work both ways. It could be a good religion, it could be a bad religion, you know, and many things he's talking about here. He mentions things like fear and emotion and several of his paragraphs of these talks. If your religion is totally based on fear, which has been the case on many religions down through the centuries, then you're based on a false pretense, aren't you? You shouldn't be made fearful to believe anything. You have to go in from a objectivity of love itself. And that love only comes from that interaction between you and God the Father, doesn't it? And fellow men, any way you look at it. All right. And I like it here because he says, if you really have a religion, you'll become an active evangel of that religion, and you think it's worthy of worship for all mankind, don't you? What's an active evangel? In other words, you want to share it with everyone, don't you?
Right.
Because you think it's right and you think it's the best thing for them. And if it doesn't fit for everyone, I mean every being in the universe, then it's really not a true religion, is it? Because it has to fit for everyone and everything, right? Not only on this planet, for other planets too. That always makes me wonder if we ever have communications before we die with extraterrestrials, if they are already up on all these concepts we talk about in the book, you know. It would be an interesting conversation, you know. Do you know who Jesus of Nazareth was? Do you know who Michael is? That sort of thing.
Of course,
You know?
you would think they do.
That would be the case, wouldn't you? Yeah. All right, Diane.
Morality and religion are not necessarily the same. A system of morals by grasping an object of worship may become a religion. A religion, by losing its universal appeal to loyalty and supreme devotion, may evolve into a system of philosophy or a code of morals. This thing being state or order of existence or possibility of attainment, which constitutes the supreme idea of religious loyalty, and which is the recipient of the religious devotion of those who worship, is God, regardless of the name applied to this idea of spirit reality. It is God.
And God could be known by many, 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 many names, can't he? Right? To different groups, God will be a different name for many things. But the concept of a one source or first source and center or universal father always remains the same, the I am. Okay, start out with. All right, Pam, would you take the next one?
Yeah. The social characteristics of a true religion consist in the fact that it invariably seeks to convert the individual and to transform the world. Religion implies the existence of undiscovered ideals, which far transcend the known standards of ethics and morality embodied in even the highest social usages of the most mature institutions of civilization. Religion reaches out for undiscovered ideals, unexplored realities, superhuman values, divine wisdom, and true spirit attainment. True religion does all of this. All other beliefs are not worthy of the name. You cannot have a genuine spiritual religion without the supreme and supreme, I'm sorry, and the
Supernal.
supernal ideal of an eternal God. A religion without this God is an invention of man, a human institution of lifeless intellectual beliefs and meaningless emotional ceremonies. A religion might claim, as the object of its devotion, a great ideal. But such ideals of unreality are not attainable. Such a concept of is illusory, illusion.
Illusionary.
Illusion.
The only ideals susceptible of human attainment is are the divine realities of the infinite values resident in the spiritual fact of the eternal God.
So, all these other things that people attach to religions, okay, I mean, all of them, are meaningless without that one value of the spiritual fact of the eternal God, right? So if it does not have that eternal God as its main point, all else around it is useless. Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
No God, it's not really a religion. It's a system of beliefs that may be religious or non-religious, either one. Okay, so if you have these groups that say, if you don't believe the way I do, you deserve to die, are they right? No, of
No. No.
course not.
Of
All
course.
right, okay. See, Rodney, would you take the next one?
The word God, the idea of God, is contrasted with the ideal of God, can become a part of any religion, no matter how puerile or false that religion may chance to be. And this idea of God can become anything which those who entertain it may choose to make it. The lower religions shape their ideas of God to meet the natural state of the human heart. The higher religions demand that the human heart shall be changed to meet the demands of the ideals of true religion.
Now, let me give you an example of what he's talking about here. In the earlier papers, when they were talking, when they're building us up to understand the religions and that sort of thing in the earlier papers, they made a statement that early man made gods of almost everything. They made the trees the god, they made rocks the god, they made mountains god. They got, you can see this in the
Well, a volcano.
Volcanoes is God. That's right. Everything that it was unusual became God, and that wasn't the case. But as we have grown over time, which has been centuries and centuries, we finally got the idea that God is an ideal, right? So that concept of God, the central dwelling place of God, which is really within you, but that God itself is the central ideal. That's why they call it the first source and center in the Urantia book. And of course, we had the second source and center and the third source and center and the sun and the infinite spirit. But these concepts all work together in this ideal of God the Father, right? And it's because of that ideal of God the Father that he dwells within us. So all the rest of it is fluff, if you would. Okay. You can do all the ceremonies you want. You can go down and eat all the pieces of bread you want. You can drink all the wine you want. No, all these ceremonies we have attached to worshiping God are really useless without that concept of God the Father.
Right.
Okay. That's the whole point. All right. Okay, I believe you're up again. Wait a minute. Roddy, you just read?
No, I think it, yes.
Yeah.
I think it's your turn.
Is it my turn again? I never can remember when my turn is. The religion of Jesus transcends all our former concept of the idea of worship in that he not only portrays the Father as the ideal of infinite reality, but positively declares that this divine source of values and the eternal center of the universe is truly and personally attainable by every mortal creature who chooses to enter the kingdom of heaven on earth, thereby acknowledging the acceptance of the sonship with God. So believing in God the Father makes us sons, right? Faith sons of God and brotherhood with man that I submit is the highest concept of religion the world has ever known. And I pronounce that there can never be a higher, since this gospel embraces the infinity of realities, the divinity of values, and the eternity of universal attainment. Such a concept constitutes the achievement of the experience of the idealism of the supreme and the ultimate. And how do we gain that?
Oh.
Through the ascension plan. Okay. As we go on the ascension plan and we eventually stand before God the Father, we also attain the supreme and the ultimate on the way. Okay. So,
Interesting that he grasped that.
yeah, that's what I was thinking as we started this paragraph. His concepts is so well defined, and he's thought through this very, I mean, we're talking about a man that doesn't have, they don't have computers. They didn't have books
Yeah.
back then. They had scrolls. So that he learned this much in such a short period of time is really quite amazing. All right. Stephanie, would you take the next one, please?
I am not only intrigued by the consummate ideals of this religion of your master, but I am mightily moved to profess my beliefs in his announcement that these ideals of spirit realities are attainable. That you and I can enter upon this long and eternal adventure with his assurance of the certainty of our ultimate arrival at the portals of paradise. My brethren, I am a believer. I have embarked. I am on my way with you in this eternal venture. The Master says he came from the Father and that he will show us the way. I am fully persuaded he speaks the truth. I am finally convinced that there are no attainable ideals of reality or values of perfection apart from the eternal and universal Father.
That says it all, does it not?
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, that's a statement of faith, any way you look at it.
Sure it
All
is.
right, Diane, to take the
I come then to worship, not merely the God of existences, but the God of the possibility of all future existences. Therefore, muster devotion to a supreme ideal. If that ideal is real, be devotion to this God of past, present, and future universes, of things and beings. And there is no other God, for there cannot possibly be any other God. All other gods are figments of the imagination, illusions of mortal mind, distortions of the false logic, and the self-deception, deceptive of ideals of those who create them. Yes, you can have a religion without this God, but it does not mean anything. And if you seek to substitute the word God for the reality of this ideal of the living God, you have, excuse me, you have only deluded yourself by putting an idea in the place of an idea, place in the ideal, a divine reality. Such beliefs are merely religions of wishful fancy.
Boy, he don't pull any punches there, does he? I don't know if y'all remember this, but in the late 60s, there was this thing going around trying to convince everybody that God was a concept that human beings made up, right? You remember that? Or about 68, early 70s. Anyway, this is sort of what he's talking about here, that any other God other than God the Father, the concept of God the Father, whether they be ideas or ideals, are not real in place of the divinity of God the Father. Because God the Father, the thought adjuster within you, is the only one that you can have a relationship with. The rest of them are deceptive idols. That's what he's calling them. Okay, in other words, if you idolize something that's not really God, it means absolutely nothing to your soul. Okay, and that's important to know. All right. Pam, would you take the next one?
Sure. I see in the teachings of Jesus religion at its best. The gospel enables us to seek for the true God and to find him. But are we willing to pay the price of this entrance into the kingdom of heaven? Are we willing to be born again, to be remade? Are we willing to be subject to this terrible and testing process of self-destruction and soul reconstruction? Has not the master said, whoso would save his life must lose it? Think not that I have come to bring peace, but rather a soul struggle. True. After we pay the price of dedication to the Father's will, we do experience great peace, provided we continue to walk in the spiritual paths of consecrated living.
So what he's realized is that this commitment to become part of the kingdom of heaven is a rebirth, and that's what it takes for all of us. We have to, walk away from all of our old evil ways and the things we used to believe, and embrace those things which are real, which are loving to our fellow man, and that sort of thing. So we have to re born ourselves. That's the we have to remake ourselves into a spiritual person, because these things don't come naturally to us, do they? We have to make a conscious decision to do that which is right every single day of our entire life. So it's a price you pay for it. And you may not be as popular as you once was if you believe in God and that sort of thing. It's just that's the way it is. When you start embracing the Father's will, you go down a certain pathway. All right. Let's see here. Rodney, would you take the next?
Now, are we truly forsaking the lures of the known order of existence while we unreservedly dedicate our quest to the lures of the unknown and unexplored order of the existence of a future life of adventure in the spirit worlds of the higher idealism of divine reality? And we seek for those symbols of meaning wherewith to convey to our fellow men these concepts of the reality of the idealism of the religion of Jesus. And we will not cease to pray for that day when all mankind shall be thrilled by the communal vision of this supreme truth. Just now, our focalized concept of the Father as held in our hearts is that God is spirit, as conveyed to our fellows that God is love.
Could you imagine if someone like this took the reins instead of Paul in the early days of the church? Been amazing, wouldn't it? All right. Let's see here. The religion of Jesus demands living in spiritual experience. Other religions may consist in traditional beliefs, emotional feelings, philosophic consciousness, and all of that, but the teachings of the master requires the attainment of actual levels of real spirit progression. So we have to grow, don't we, when we make that commitment. All right. Stephanie.
The consciousness of the impulse to be like God is not true religion. The feelings of the emotions to worship God are not true religion. The knowledge of the conviction to forsake self and serve God is not true religion. The wisdom of the reasoning that this religion is the best of all is not religion as a personal and spiritual experience. True religion has reference to destiny and reality of attainment, as well as to the reality and idealism of that which is wholeheartedly faith accepted. And all of this must be made personal to us by the revelation of the Spirit of Truth.
That's right on the money, isn't it? It's the spirit of truth that teaches us. Diane, you get the last one.
And thus ended the dissertations of the Greek philosopher, one of the greatest of his race, who had become a believer in the gospel of Jesus.
And it makes you wonder what ever became of him.
It does. I think later on it tells us a little, it gives us a little bit of an idea of that. I won't spoil it. So, okay. So he got the idea, didn't he? And we're going to go on next time with the further discussions with Rodin. But you could kind of see why they wanted to include this in the papers, because it breaks down a reasoning pattern of someone very intelligent about believing in God and believing in Jesus, doesn't it? Yeah. And it helps all of us. All right, let me
Oh, we
switch.
still have 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's why we're going to switch to the. Here we go. Here we go. I'm getting food. You need to read. Who's up for reading, Pam?
Rodney, you read prior to Roger?
Yes.
And so, Roger, you read
Yeah. Yeah.
Thursday?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so then that means that I'm up.
There.
And after me, because I won't be here on Thursday, it's Gary.
All right. Well, Stephanie hadn't had a chance to read the
Oh,
prayer
that's
this
right.
morning.
Let's put Stephanie in. Stephanie, why don't you do it today?
Yeah. Sure. Prayer of acceptance. I believe that God is my paradise father, and that only by faith am I saved. No sacrifice is necessary. By this same faith, I became a child of God and know that all men and women are my brothers and sisters. We know the Son of God, the sovereign of our universe of Nebadon, as Christ Michael, Jesus of Nazareth. By allowing the will of God to become my will, I will someday stand in the presence of the Paradise Father. In the name of Christ Michael, Jesus of Nazareth, amen.
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 All right, y'all. We got a few more minutes here. Does anybody have any questions that's they need answered, or it's bothering them, or comments? Yeah, go ahead, Pam.
Okay, so the 4-year-old that's about to turn 5, she goes to the Episcopalian church, and so she has a Christian-based faith, but she's very timid and can be shy. And so what I'm trying to teach her is like what I did today, and I'm wondering what you have to offer as well, because they sing this song, "This Little Light of Mine,
Oh, let
I'm
it
gonna let it
shine.
shine. Will you hide it under a bush?" No.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was telling her today, this little light, it's inside you. And you don't have to be afraid of anything. You don't. So that was what I was focusing on, was this light of God is in you. And I think I showed you the picture of when I was trying to explain the Trinity to her. She came back with this picture of what the Trinity looks like.
That's
Remember
fine.
that was that spiral, and I mean, it
Yeah.
was just, it was amazing. And so anyway, I'm just wondering, is this the right path, or what else can I say to her to make her have more confidence and security in that, God is here to help you and protect you.
No, I think you're right on the money, Pam. And even though we know at that age, the thought adjuster has not arrived yet, right?
Right. Well, she's about to turn five.
Yes, she's just about to turn five, but it will soon. But
Yes.
teaching a child the best they can remember of what you're teaching them about God the Father, when the thought adjuster arrives, it will associate those memories, even though it wasn't there, it will add it to her building of her soul. So that's the right pathway to go, is go ahead and start it. Okay, even though the thought adjuster hasn't arrived. But remember, all children till the thought adjuster does arrive for sure is instilled with the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of truth,
So
right?
say that again.
The children before the age of five still have the Holy Spirit and are encapsulated in the Spirit of truth. Plus, they're under group seraphim, all of them.
Okay.
So they have influences from not only the Spirit of truth and the Holy Spirit, but they have influences from the angels in group form. So they're taken care of in group form. So these angels and the Spirit of truth and the Holy Spirit, all three are preparing a place within the minds of these individuals to receive the thought adjuster openly.
Yeah.
Okay. So when the thought adjuster arrives, it's like click. It fits right in to what they already know. Make sense?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah. So that's the totally proper way to approach that. It really is. Good.
Is her father alive?
Yes.
Good.
So what would you add to that?
Well, she would have a better understanding of the Heavenly Father.
Father.
And she has a good relationship with her
Oh,
father.
yeah. Oh, my
Yeah.
gosh.
Yeah.
Yes. If anything, her mother is a little too overbearing. But.
The good way to look at it too is you can kind of relate it to, when she talks about Jesus and things like that, you can think of it this way. Jesus is kind of like your father creator on this planet, and the local universe mother spirit is your mother, right? So it fits right into this family relationship,
Okay.
right?
Good. Well, I'm going to keep working on it because she becomes very shy and she's smart. She's a very smart girl. And so, I just want to be able to get her to broadcast that more.
Yeah, well, she sounds very analytical, even as young as she is. So,
Yeah.
you've got a good teacher,
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, y'all. Well, if y'all don't have anything else, I'm going to shut us down a few minutes early tonight, and we will go on with part two of Rodan on Thursday.
Well,
Okay.
good luck with your knee.
Yeah, I'm just,
Yeah.
I'm,
It's really
I,
bad.
this tonight is the first night I've actually been at all because it fractured the little bone across the top of
Did
it.
you fall
I feel bad. I'm not kidding you. It
down
was
your
just,
steps?
no, I was out back working and I was trying to get up our concrete ramp and I
Yeah.
just missed my footing. My knee gave way again and I
Gotta be
felt
so careful these
I we
days.
like to never got me up. I was going to have to call 911. Diane came up and tried to help me get up and I'm a big guy,
Yeah.
and trying to get up on one leg that's weak, it's crazy, but she got helped me get up and we put me in the car and she drove me to the emergency room and
Diane, you make sure that you take some ibuprofen
yeah.
Oh, I take it every night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's
Oh.
when you got a fracture like that, it's just 6 weeks it'll be healed or it won't. And the patella is a floating bone, so you don't cast it or anything. They gave me a non-movable leg splint that actually made it worse. So I'm
Oh,
not
more pain.
yeah, huh? A lot more pain. Yeah, I mean it was just really, it was bad yesterday. It's a little bit better today. I know how to take care of it. I'm just going to do it myself. So we'll see how it comes up. I hope I didn't damage so many ligaments in my knee that I'll have to have surgery or something. So,
Stephanie,
Stephanie.
nice meeting you.
Yeah, you as well.
How old is Malachi?
He's 5 months old.
5 months. Lordy.
Is he driving yet?
He'd like to think he is.
All right, y'all. Well, listen, y'all
Oh,
have a good night.
special.
We will see everybody Thursday then,
All
okay?
right. Love you guys.
Thanks, everybody at home
Love
that
you.
comes see
Love
us.
you
Thank you,
too.
Roger.